We do appreciate Brother Helton and the church here in Linwood. It is one of our very favorite places to come, be in service here. I mean, we just love to come to Linwood. Tell you what I love about this church. I don't ever remember, if I have, I don't remember it. I don't ever remember being here in my life that I haven't felt the presence of God so strong in the service. And that's a precious thing. That's a precious thing. And I just love, man, when I come down here, of course, I go a different way than everybody else. Everybody else gets off the interstate, and I'm still stuck coming all the way down Eastern Avenue. So by the time I get here, I'm ready for help. You understand? So, I mean, I'll come walking in the doors, and, man, I just can't wait to see what the Lord's got in store for us. You got a great pastor. We love and appreciate him and his wife, his children, the legacy of the Helton family, and we just appreciate them. Have your Bibles tonight, Luke chapter number 24. We ask for your prayers as we preach in the morning. My wife wasn't able to be here tonight. She wanted to come. She's not been doing well. We're expecting another child before too awful long, and we're supposed to preach camp meeting this week, the latter part of the week. So we got to get up early in the morning, head out, drive about 800 miles. I think she's going to try to make the trip, and so she's getting pretty close, and it's a long, hard trip. And so as of now, she's going to try. So pray that the Lord will help us. And I've been praying for this service, praying to see what the Lord would have us preach. This is what I feel like God laid on our heart. Luke chapter 24. This is something we've all heard. And as Brother Allen said a few nights ago, in my living room, or in my office, sitting in my chair as he was preaching to me over the internet. I got to listen to all your preachers the other night, and I called Sister Helton. I said, I got to listen to all your preachers and listen to all of them. Every one of them helped me, blessed me. And so as Brother Allen said in my office the other day, I'm going to take a little time and lay a foundation here. Amen. Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 28. The Bible said, and they, I want you to listen to all the plurals in this scripture. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. He made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening. The day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart, singular, did not our heart burn within us? I want to preach, if the Lord will help me, just a little while tonight, simply on one heart. One heart. Amen. In the church age that we live in today, in our modern day church world, it's the thing now to do. We have got to meet our agenda or we ain't happy. Amen. It's got to go our way. It's got to be how we want it. It's got to be what we like, or we're not going to be happy. Amen. And when you get into this story here, Jesus is passing by. We got two men. They're on the road to Emmaus. You know the story well. We've heard it quoted. We've heard it preached. We know the scripture. But I want us to notice the Bible said they drew nigh into the village whither they went. And they encounter Jesus. He makes as though he would go further. And they constrained him. They grabbed hold of him. They latched on to him. They did. did not want Jesus to leave them. Amen. I'd say everybody at Linwood Faith Tabernacle tonight would say, we don't want the Lord to leave our presence. Is that right? We want the Lord to be here. And so he constrained them, or they did, both of them, constrained him and said, no, we don't want you to leave. We want you to abide with us. The Bible said he went into them. He tarried with them for a little while. While he was in their home, and while he was in their presence, rather, it came to pass, dinner time rolled around. He was going to sit down and eat with them. So he blessed the food, and he broke the bread, and he ate with them, and he supped with them. And they're sitting there in the divine presence of the Lord. And I want you to understand that things always change when we're in the presence of the Lord. Is that right? There's always a difference that comes over us when the Lord's in the midst. And when the Lord's in the presence. Is that right? And so he comes in their midst. And you notice for five solid verses, it is they said, and they said, and we said, and come in with us, and come to us. And he break bread with them, and they looked at one another. And all the plurals that take place, you know why? Because you got one man that's got one idea. You got another. Another man that's got another idea. You got one fella thinks you got to do it this way, and another fella thinks you got to do it this way. But something must have took place. Jesus comes into their midst. He comes into where they're at, and before he left, the Bible said he vanished out of their sight. He disappeared without them even knowing it. But he done a great work while he was there, for he took two separate individuals with two separate ideas, two different trains of thought, and he put them together. And I am going to preach to us here, but you know what our church world needs today? More than anything else, we need the Lord to give us one heart. Amen. How many say, I want one heart at this church? Do you understand the Holy Ghost never fell until they came in unity? Do you know the Bible talks about if there's two or three that will agree? And so he tells us he's going to move, but he does not promise a move. He never did promise us that he would touch or move or heal prior to unity. Amen. He said, if any two or three of you will agree. What he said was, if you'll forget you, and you'll forget you, and you come together as us.
I'm going to preach. Hold on.
You're gonna make, I hope it don't get worse before it gets better. And I don't know why. I was praying, Sister Helton, and the Lord laid some scriptures on my heart. Contrary to what Ryan thinks, I'm still kind of young. I'm teasing with him. Have a hard time calling him Ryan. I call him something else. But anyway, I'm still kind of young. And I've been in church my entire life. I was born in a preacher's home. I fell asleep under church pews. My father started pastoring when I was 8 years old. So for 28 years, I've been in a pastor's home. And for 36 years, I've been in a preacher's home. So I know a little bit about the ministry. And the Lord began to deal with me on these scriptures and about this sermon. And really, I'll be honest with you, I feel so inept and so inadequate. And I wish God would have gave this to somebody else. But I feel like it's fell our lot, and so I'm going to preach what I know God's laid on my heart for this service. Is it all right? And so we understand that for our church to have a move of God, it cannot be in your way, nor can it be my way, nor can it be anybody else's way. We must have the will of God, the move of God, the mind of God, the spirit of God. We must know that God wants us to come together.
Amen.
Have you ever heard anybody stand up and say, I'd like to find the mind of God? You ever said that? I have. I mean, a few times I said, I need the mind of the Lord. I'd like to feel after the Lord in this service. And so I was praying. And we do need one heart. I think everybody will agree. And I was praying. I said, Lord, and just stay with me here. So Lord, I understand that our church world, it's 2006, Brother Helton already told us, we are losing our holiness people. Come on here. that are slipping through our fingers. Our church ain't what she should be. Hello. We're far from where we were. I'm not talking about you. We're far from where we were. And there was a day. There was a day you could announce revival and sinners would come out to the house of God without ever being invited. They'd come to the service. I mean, they'd come in and conviction would fall. They'd be scared to walk out the back doors. They'd wind up praying through before it's all said and done. You didn't have to preach on hell to get them saved. You might preach on the Holy Ghost, heaven, anything. Conviction was going to fall. It ain't the sinner's fault. I'm going to preach. I said, Lord, I need to know what it is that we're missing. Can you show me? Is there anything that you can show me? I know we need one heart, and I know our church needs to come back together, and I understand we need a move. You know what? I'd love to see it, Linwood. I'd love to walk in here one night, and maybe on a Thursday or Sunday, whatever it might be, and come walking through the back doors, and somebody meet me in the back door of the folding chair saying, Brother, you're going to have to go in the back room or sit in the side here. We ain't got any room to hold anybody else. Man, wouldn't you love to see that? I'd love it. I'd love Brother Hilton to call me and say, you're going to have to pray. You know, that church God gave us, God blessed us with, it don't hold us no more. There ain't no room to park. We got to get, that'd be great. But before we can ever get God to move, we got to get in unison. We got to find out where the heart of God is. Hey man, I'm still laying foundation. But listen, we gotta find out where the heart of God is and where the mind of God is. And so in prayer, Brother Hilton, I was praying, Lord, where is your heart? What do you want me to see in this scripture? And the Lord took me to Jeremiah chapter 3. And the scripture said this in verse 14. He said, Turn, O backslidden children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. I'll take you one of a city, two of a family, and I'll bring you to Zion. We're looking for the heart of God. Is that right? And so he said this. He said, I will give you pastors. According to my heart. Which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. I'm a feeling like preaching for a little while here tonight. You want to know where the heart of God rests tonight? I love this church. We got you. You've got some of the greatest singers here. You've got some. You've got a wealth of talent. I've been to churches all across this country that would give anything to have the talent you've got. Have the musicians. I mean, Sister Jackie, she paused for a minute. And I knew what she was doing. I've been in church long enough. She paused for a minute, and she was getting her breath, and she was going to give the musicians a chance to play. And man, did you hear Brandon and Gabriel and Brother Allen, man, and them boy and Brother Austin, they got to play, and boy, that music sounded so good. I'm telling you, it was wonderful. Man, we've got great musicians, we got great singers, you've got great teachers. I've listened to all your preachers this week. You've got great preachers. But can I tell you tonight that if we really want the heart of God, and we really want our church to do good, and we want our church to do what's right, and we want our children saved, and we want our church to grow, we must understand that somewhere along the line, God has gave his heart to a man. Somewhere along the course of time, God came down and took an old boy. You've heard Brother Hilton's story. I know you have. All of us have. But somewhere along the line, God took an atheist. Ain't that right? God took a man that didn't even believe in him, saved him, ripped his heart out of him, put inside him his very own heart, sent him to this church to lead you and to guide you and to feed you. And can I tell you tonight, if we want to have a breakthrough where heaven has to fall, we will get together in one heart. And listen, he said, I'm going to give you pastors according to my heart. And what are they going to do? They're going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. I don't want to get in trouble here, so I'm putting these down. That's why It ain't no evangelist's job to line out a church. Hello. The evangelist is to come in and to encourage and to uplift and to preach Jesus, preach Him crucified, maybe preach on hell a little bit and see some of them saved. But when it comes to the growth of a church, and when it comes to the knowledge of the people, and when it comes to feeding the flock, it is not my job, and I hope you don't fall out with me here, but it ain't your job either. Oh, hello. You know whose job it is to stand up behind this sacred desk and feed us with wisdom and feed us with knowledge and feed us with understanding? It is the man of God. Oh, brother, I don't know about that. It's just a man. We'll get into that later. That is not the truth. But anyway, we'll get into that later. It is not just a man. It is a man that God has changed. It is a man that God has called. It's a man that God has placed. Can I tell you tonight, you may not always like what your pastor preaches, but you must always swallow the pill he gives you. Is that right? You may not always agree with it. It may not always tickle your fancy. You may not always want to run a lap and shout hallelujah, but I'm telling you, when the man of God stands behind the sacred desk and he preaches to us out of the Word of God, it is God Himself. You hear me? It is the voice of God. It's the heart of God that stands up behind a platform and tells us what saith the Word of the Lord. Listen, I've had no other pastor but my father. Any of Brother Helton's kids understand what I'm talking about? I had no other pastor but my father. And I don't always liked everything he preached. I've not always agreed with everything he preached. But he's my pastor. Hello. He took a stand a long time ago on a certain issue. Told us we couldn't do it. If we did it, we couldn't sing in the choir. And I don't know what made me do it. Probably the devil. Yeah. And I don't know, sometimes we blame him too much. May not have been him. But anyway, it's probably the devil. But I'll give him the blame anyway because I don't want to take it. But I don't know what made me do it. But he told us, if you do it, you ain't coming up singing. You ain't coming on my pulpit. Not on him, not up here. And I remember I got involved in what he said to do. It was 2 weeks. He never got the choir to sing. I thought he just didn't like to hear the choir sing anymore. And I found out later he was thinking of a way to kick his own son out of the pulpit. And he said, choir, I want you to come. And I was always cool. And cool people don't go first, you know. We always have to go last. And I was one of the last ones going up, me and two or three of my friends. And my dad stood right here. He was going to walk up this side, on the opposite side of the piano there at the church. My dad looked down at me. He said, where do you think you're going? And the whole church watching. I said, I'm fixing to sing. He said, not here you ain't. I said, say what? He said, not in this pulpit. He said, you know what I preach. He said, you ain't going to rebel against God and come on this pulpit. I got mad. Amen. I was hurt. I was mad. And I ain't ashamed to admit it now, but I was then. I even went in the back and cried a little bit. Hey, man, don't act like you ain't never cried because your pastor stood up for something. Hurt my feelings. Sometimes I wonder what we're made of. But anyway, went back. I didn't get a chance to talk about my preacher. I had to ride home with him. He had a size 56 belt, and if I talked too much, boy, I couldn't outrun it. I'm telling you, I didn't get a chance to complain on him. I didn't get a chance to talk about him. It was forever. He wouldn't let me come up on the pulpit. And then when I finally did quit doing it and wanted to come up because he quit doing it, he wouldn't let me come up then. I said, I don't understand. I quit. Can I come up? He said, you only quit to come up. He said, I ain't coming now. If you're only quitting to come up, then he ain't coming up then either. I said, man, what do I got to do? You know, and I realize now that he loved me. Come on here. And I want to tell you something. When the man of God, when Brother Helton stands in our platform and he takes a stand against things that we don't understand, don't you get mad at the man of God, and don't you get bitter, and don't you run off thinking Brother Helton don't love you. If you'll really step back and take survey, he loves you more than you realize, and he loves you more than you'll ever know. I'm telling you, all these years later, as a preacher of the gospel, raising my own children, I'm glad that the man of God stood up and said, no, you're not going to do it, because he was leading me and giving me the wisdom and the understanding and knowledge that I needed in my life. We're so quick to judge our preacher. Listen, I pastored for 3.5 years, almost a little over 3.5 years. And there's things you preach you don't want to preach when you get up. Half the time I went to the platform, I don't want to preach what I preached. But I preached what I preached because God took my heart, Sister Sharon, took it out and placed inside me his heart. Amen. You know why Brother Helton stands for holiness? Well, it's because that's what he likes. No, that ain't it. He don't stand for holiness because it's what he likes. He stands for holiness because God stands for holiness. He stands for purity because God stands for purity. And he stands for clean living because God stands for clean living. And God put inside him his own heart. And listen, can I tell you a little while here tonight, and I'm going to try to preach, but listen, can I talk to you? You cannot go against a man of God. And I might get in trouble here. You may disagree with me, but that's all right. Listen, you cannot work against the man of God and be right with God. Anybody that works against the pastor is not saved. Preacher, that's a bold statement. You're not working against Brother Helton, you're working against the pastor. The pastor has God's heart, right? And when you work against the pastor, who are you working against? God. And if you work against God, can we be right with God? Come on. Well, hallelujah. And we fight, you know what we fight more than anything else? Here's what we fight in our ministry and with our preachers and our pastors. We fight this more than anything else. I've seen it through and through and through. And we get this mentality and we get this idea that they're just another man. All Brother Helton and Sister Helton is, they're good people and we love them and thank God for them. But, you know, they're just another member and they just, you know, they're just one voice. And we thank God they're there and we love them. But, you know, it's just Brother Helton. I'm telling you, the man of God's not just a member, nor his wife. We need to, you know what we need a revival of more than anything else in our holiness church? We need a revival of authority, a revival of respect, and a revival of unity. And I tell you what, we have birthed the generation in our church world today that has no respect any longer. Amen. We don't respect the house of God, we don't respect the word of God, and we don't respect the man of God. I say we need a revival of respect. Praise God. Man, there was a day that folks would be afraid to sin, let alone sin in the house of God. Come on. Oh, praise God. I had somebody look me right in the face and said, I'm going to tell you something, brother. And I said, you may be the pastor, but you ain't no more than a member. I said, that's a lie from the pits of hell. Ezekiel don't say that, and the Word of God don't support it. You know what the Bible says in Ezekiel 34? Ezekiel 34 says this. It says in the 22nd verse, he said, "Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. I will judge between cattle and cattle." Who's going to judge? God. Right? God's going to do the judging. And then he said, "I will set up one shepherd over them." One. You know why they're taking me a pastor in the church, boss? Because God only had one heart to give out. Hello. I was preaching revival, Brother Todd, at a place. And someone come to me and said, "Now, you see that family right over there?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "You keep them happy and we'll be in good shape." I said, they run the church. Whew. I said, "I thought God ran the church. Whatever happened to..." There could be no opinion. There can be no there can be no domineering force, and there can be nothing that rises up against the authority of the pastor, and the church still be prospered and the church still be blessed, because he said, "I'm going to set up one shepherd over them." He never said, "I'm going to give you three shepherds." He never said, "I'm going to give you a shepherd and two men to keep the shepherd in line." And that's what we think we got to do in our church world now. Well, I tell you, we got a good preacher, but we got two or three men that keep him in line. That is not scriptural. It is unbiblical. And it is not right. God is the one that takes care of the man of God. He's the one that keeps the man of God in check. He's the one that keeps him humble. He's the one that keeps him right. And guess what? If the man of God fails, and you don't got that problem at Limwood, but if the man of God fails, he don't have to answer to us. He has to answer to God. He said, "I'm going to set up one shepherd over them." He never said, "I'm going to set up one shepherd and have him run by three or four," but he said, "I'm going to set up one shepherd, and he'll feed them." Who does the feeding? The shepherd. Amen. We all have our place in church. Let's don't misunderstand that. God uses all of us, but the shepherd feeds us. Amen. And he said, "He'll feed them. Even my servant David shall feed them. He shall be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God." And here's what we want to look at. "I will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them." Your pastor ain't another member. We serve the King of Kings. Is that right? And God said, "I'll be the king, and my prince will be the shepherd. The prince will be the man that sits directly under me. I'll be the God of this flock. I'll do the judging between cattle and cattle. I'm going to separate it out. I'm going to judge. I'm going to rightly divide all of it. But listen, I'll be the God. I'll be their king. But I am going to set up a prince." Who is the prince? It is the man of God. It is our pastor. And can I tell you tonight, if we really want a move of God, we will understand that it must come with unity, and it must come. Hey, listen, what happened on the road to Emmaus? Two men got together. They encountered Jesus. Jesus came in, and by the time Jesus left, it was no more us, but it was we. You know what ought to happen in Linwood Faith Tabernacle here tonight? When Jesus comes in our midst, it's no longer we, but it is us. It is no longer my, but it's our. Praise God. This is our church. And Brother Hilton's our leader, and he's our pastor, and we need to get behind the man of God like never before. Listen, he is a prince. You know what that means? That means the crown jewel of this church sits right there. Amen? Praise God. Listen, I've evangelized full time for some 8 years, seven, 8 years. Pastored for 3.5, been an assistant for 2. Never, ever in my ministry at any point as the assistant pastor, never one time did I feel as though that I had the reins, the authority, or anything else in the church. I was to work under the man of God. I could only be used in my place. Amen. You see, if we get to feeling like, as an evangelist, if I get to feeling like, well, I'm going to walk in Linwood tonight, and I know better than Brother Helton, and you know, Brother Helton's a good guy, but you know, he ain't near like I am. I'm going to go and I'm going to give them all my wisdom and knowledge. God ain't going to use me. God ain't going to use nobody that does it. But when Brother Helton stands here and looks back and says, Sister Donna, can you give us a song? And she comes up to the piano and she begins to sing. You know what God does? God blesses her because she's underneath the man of God. And God moved on the pastor to say, it's your turn to sing. Amen. I know this is different preaching. I wish we'd run and shout for a little bit. Well, if I know I wasn't in myself, I'd just take a lap anyway just to make myself feel good, but it wouldn't be God. Amen. Hey, he set up one shepherd, and he'll be their prince. And you know what that means? Listen, you know what the prince is? The prince is the one that has been elevated to the position of authority. And I want to tell you right now, somebody asked me a question the other day, and I gave them the question that I believe every God-fearing man and woman of God that's right with God and loves God should give in every instance. Somebody asked me, we was out traveling, we was in revival, we was several hundred miles away, and they come up to me, and they said, Brother, we want to ask you, who's your favorite preacher? And I said, you mean besides my pastor? Because my pastor is my favorite preacher. Amen. You know who Linwood Faith Tabernacle's favorite preacher should be? Should be Don Helton. Hello. You know why? Because at 3 o'clock in the morning, that's who you call. When you're in trouble, that's who you go to. When your loved one's dying, that's the one that gets up in the middle of the night, him and his precious wife, and say, come on, let's go set up with him for a little while. And can I tell you, if you've seen the work of the man of God and you knew the hard, intense work that went behind pastoring a church, you would think twice before you ever gave them any trouble. You'd think twice before you ever questioned them. Hey, church does not only exist on Sundays and Thursdays. The work of this church takes place on a Monday morning when you go to work and the devil begins to fight you and Brother Helton gets the phone call and for a solid hour he has to sit down and talk you through your doldrums and talk you through through what you're going through and convince you that you're still safe sometimes. You understand? Can I tell you tonight that our pastor is so precious and he is such a man of God. Oh, I love him so much, and I'm telling you that as this church we ought to love our pastor. And I know we do. I know we do, but listen. You know what we do and don't even realize it? And I've caught myself doing it. A preacher comes in that we ain't seen for a long time. And we make a beeline to the back door. And we make over them. We hug them. We pat on them. Boy, you're my favorite. Man, I'm so glad. Boy, that was the best message I've ever heard. Oh, what singing. And we don't think anything about it, but the whole time, the prince has been pushed off. I know this is slow, but this is what I feel like I need to preach. I'm getting somewhere here. But if our pastor is the prince, do you know who the princess is? Amen. I watched my mother on more occasions than one. I remember one particular occasion. My father got up and preached something, and there was somebody in the church. Boy, they didn't like it. And they didn't have the guts to go to the preacher. We always, you know, we call them gutless, yellow-bellied, spineless cowards. Usually what we call them. They didn't have enough guts to go to the pastor, so they went to the wife. And Will smile and shake his hand. Love you, Brother Helton. You get off to the side and tell his wife what devil we think he is. He shouldn't have preached that. Come on here. And I may get myself in trouble here, but I was off in the side room. My mom and dad never talked about church trouble to me. I want to tell you something right now. Your children's going to know what church trouble is quick enough. You don't need to talk about church trouble, church problems, or your preacher in front of your children. Amen. Praise God. They're going to have a problem with bitterness quick enough. Don't push it on them any farther. I hid off in the corner in the side room. Boy, they chewed my mother out. And I wasn't saved probably. And if I was, I sure wasn't sanctified and spiritual. And boy, I tell you, it was everything I could just fly out of that room and just lay into them. If I'd have thought I could have whooped them, I'd have done it. If I just didn't, I didn't know if I could have, you know, don't fall out on me. I mean, I was chewing my mother out, and I watched my mama, and she took every bit of it. And we got in the car, and I rode home. I was in the back seat, and Melissa was in the back seat, meeting my sister, and we was riding home. My dad looked over at my mother, and she said, "What was they telling you, honey?" She said, "Don't worry about it." She didn't say it because she was trying to be the boss. She didn't want him to suffer any more hurt. We take all of our problems to the preacher. And we put a load on him so great that really our expectations of our pastors are way too high. They've got to preach camp meeting every night to us. They got to have a shout and run in the pews. We got to have three saved every Sunday and two filled with the Holy Ghost every Thursday. I mean, if we don't blow the place apart, something must be wrong with Brother Helton. When you don't even realize the load that he's under, you don't even realize the strain and the stress and the pressure that the man of God has to go through, and they walk in the back doors of the church, and because they love God, and more importantly, because they love you, they're not going to let you know they're discouraged. They ain't going to let you know they're down, and they're going to come in and smile and stand up and preach the love of God anyway. And so when the man of God don't tell you his problems, who do you think he tells? Come on. He tells his princess. Amen. And so while the most revered and respected position in the church is always the pastor, the most pivotal position in the church is the pastor's wife. Because that's who our pastor has to lean on. And can I tell you tonight that listen, I think the mother of every church ought to be the pastor's wife. Is that right? It doesn't matter. You know what? Our pastor's wife is the princess of the church. She is the lady that is to be revered and to be respected and to be honored and to be loved and to be, and really, to just be honest with you, I don't know why I'm preaching like this, but I'm too far into it, and I preached way too long. I'm usually not long-winded, so forgive me. But listen, we ought to spoil our preacher and his wife. When they walk into Linwood Tabernacle on a Sunday night, and they feel this way, I know them well enough and known them long enough, I know they feel this way. But when they walk in here on Sunday night, there ought to be no doubt in their mind, this is the best church in the world. Do you know how to do that? You make it the best atmosphere. Amen. And I want to tell you something right now. There ain't nobody in this country can do this church justice but Brother Don Helton. You know why? Because this is who God put here. Don't do you no good to wonder what another pastor would be like. Wonder what it would be like with somebody else, because God never gave you nobody else. God gave you Brother Help. Yeah. Come here, brother. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to try to hurry and close. I know this has been real slow. I've never got off my foundation, Brother Allen. I'm going to show you something scripturally. You ever wondered where your position in the church is? When Moses is fighting the enemy, and he's fighting the Philistines, and we know the story well. He was just a man, but he was God's man. Because he was God's man, any time that he had strength and encouragement, the people was going to win. When he didn't, they lost. Two men rose up, and I want to ask you a question. Who do you think got killed? When Moses got weak, who got killed? It's Israel's children. people from their tribe were destroyed. Do you know what happens when our pastor? Come on here. You want our church to prosper? You'll keep the man of God strengthened. You want the church to go on and do what it needs to do for the Lord? You'll keep his hands raised, everything else. We understand that. And so we know the story. But here's where our position is. If you look at the scripture, when Aaron and Hur got together, now Brother Helton's got a ton of friends, and if Brother Helton went home tonight, and Sister Helton can tell you this, and if all of his preacher friends all over the country would call Brother Helton and encourage him and tell him, boy, you're doing a great job, you've got a great church, just want you to know I love you, he wouldn't get off the phone all night. That ain't what Brother Helton needs. Moses never needed outside encouragement to win. Do you know what we think as a church sometimes? Boy, we're down. Call in somebody from the outside. Outside help never helped Israel win. It took somebody from the inside, somebody from their own tribe, to rise up and say, I'll be the one that is going to do anything I can to encourage the man of God. And so they got together, two of them ran, and here's what they done. They got to the side of the pastor. And at his side, their position stopped. They didn't get behind him. We got a whole lot of folks that gets behind our pastor. They'll say, boy, we're behind you. And they push him. You understand? Oh, you're a good preacher, Brother Helton. Did you see what he had on? Just wanted to let you know. You're a good man. Boy, I love you, Brother Helton. Woo, boy, I'm for you. You know, I tell you, you're one of the best preachers I've ever heard in my life. And I'm going to stay here long as you don't preach on my kids. I'm going to be right here. And we push our pastor and try to make him dictate what he preaches. Amen. We want to run straight in and say, did you see her? Did you hear what Sean did today? I wouldn't let him preach next Thursday. But you're a good man. I love you, brother. You know we have a whole lot of it in our churches. Amen. And we get behind them, we try to push them over here. Come on. Oh. Woo! We're for you, Brother Helton. Not that way, this way. Oh. You understand? We try to push them. We want the church to run the way we tell the preacher it ought to run. Do you know what else we do? If we ain't behind him, we want to get in front of him. And we start having revival, and revival breaks loose, and a bunch of people get saved. And the church starts growing. And Brother Helton, boy, he's so excited. Him and Sister Helton's going to tell everybody, oh, man, well, boy, we had a great revival. Yeah, we sure did. You know, I have a bus ministry. Yeah, boy, we had a great revival. And I tell you, I've been praying and fasting for 3 weeks, Brother Todd. Boy, I'm telling you. And we want to jump in front of the preacher. And we want to steal as much glory and as much spotlight as we can. But Aaron and Hur never got in front of him. They never got behind him. They got beside him. And they said, let me tell you something, Moses. We're going to win this battle. If it ain't no more than me, you, and him, we're going to win the battle because the Lord said that's all we need. Praise God. And so what we're going to do is we're going to get behind, or beside you rather, and we're going to nestle up next to the side of the preacher, and we're going to raise his hands up, and we're going to encourage him, and we're going to help him. Can I tell you, at Linwood Faith Tabernacle, we don't need a bunch of people jumping in front of the preacher. We don't need you getting behind him and pushing him. We don't need you telling him what to do or anything else. What we need at Linwood Faith Tabernacle is men and women of God that will say, I'm going to find my place in the house of God. I'm going to nestle up next to the preacher. I'm going to do what I can. We're going to win this battle. We're going to go over the top. Our church is going to come together in love and unity again. We're going to have one heart, and it's going to be because I'm going to make this a church of unity. And can I take one step further and tell you, we can't have unity because the pastor wants it. We only have unity because you want it. Hello. That's why I want to do something different here. Can I just make altar call different? I'm not gonna. I've tried to preach to you. Come here, Sister Helton. Come up here if you will, sis. I'll just tell you right now, for what it's worth, there ain't two finer people in the world than Brother and Sister Helton. Amen. You know what we need to do in our church? I love to sing. I don't sing. I love to hear singing. And I love to shout. And I love to hear good preaching. I love when the revival's going on. I told Dad, hope I don't embarrass you, Brother Allen. I told Sister Helton already. I drove home after I got done listening to all the preachers here. I drove home. I drove up to Mom and Dad's. Been a while since I've been there. I said, go in, let's get on your computer. He said, why? I said, if you think Allen sings like a black man, you ain't heard nothing yet. I said, you ought to hear him preach. He's my friend. He knows that. Do you know what, Brother Allen? I love singing. I love preaching. I love everything else. But you know what I wish we had more than anything? If we never sung another song, if we never shouted another time, Brother Charlie, what I'd love to see is a church that you could not divide for anything. We've lost too many. I'm not talking just here. I'm talking in our holiness movement. We've lost too many. We've lost them not because of our preacher and not because of us. We've lost them because the devil's come in and plucked them out from us. But do you understand that if we can bind together, when Moses was strengthened, Israel won. When Moses had help, Israel prospered. When Moses had people inside his own camp that said, I'm not going to fight you, I'm not going to question you, I'm not going to boss you, I'm not going to do anything, I'm just going to get beside you, and I'm going to love you, and whatever you tell me, I'm going to do it. If you tell me we need to fast for 10 days, I'm going to fast for 10 days. If you tell me we need to walk around church four times, I'll do it. Why? Because he's the man of God, and I believe so strong about it that if Brother Held walked in here and said, I believe the Lord told me to tell everybody not to drink Dr. Pepper for 3 weeks. You know what I think y'all do?
Come on.
Don't drink it. Well, I think he's crazy. Don't think it. He's got God's heart.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
God speaks to the man of God. Here's what I want us to do. Do we got Brother Austin? Is there any oil in here? Is there any oil in here? Anointing oil. Can you get it for me? Or is it up here somewhere? I want every man in this church, I want us to do this different. I want Brother Helton to come stand right over here on this side of the church, if you will. I want Sister Helton to stay here. I want every man in this church that wants to see our church go forward, that loves our pastor, that wants to work with him and get beside him, I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to come down. I want us to anoint him. Come on, Brother Todd. I want us to anoint our pastor, all the women. You feel the same way about your pastor's wife? I want you to gather in around Sister Helton. And I want us to pray for the leaders of our church tonight. I want us to gather in around. Let's pray for Brother Helton and Sister Helton. Let's anoint them. Ask God to use them. Bless them. Help them when we get done. And after we get done, pray. And let's have one of them old-fashioned. Shake your hand. Hug your neck. Let the pastor and his wife know how much they've done for us. Why don't we gather in here tonight? Play a little something for us. Let's pray for Brother Helton here. Ask the Lord to help him and Sister Helton tonight. God, Lord.